Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and I have a special treat for you on the show today. I have Minister Billy Williams back with us. He lives down on the Gulf Coast, and he's got lots of revelation to share with us. Today, we're going to be talking about taking authority over situations, over illnesses in your body or other people's bodies, over financial situations, whatever you need to take authority over, that's what we're going to talk about. And I'm going to share with y'all some stories of some things that I've dealt with since moving to Arkansas. I've had to learn about taking authority over things. Billy, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, you're quite welcome. It's a pleasure to join you today, Miss Glenda.
So everybody really enjoyed when you were on the podcast with us previously. Okay, so when I moved to Arkansas, I, of course, had no idea what I was in for, being a person who lived in Texas and Oklahoma almost my entire life. And up here, I've never lived in the mountains before, and I've never lived in the middle of a forest before. So I did not know, you know, what comes with that, but I've had to learn. I've lived in a little yellow house that I refer to as the House of Horrors out in the country, and praise God, he delivered me out of that in that one-year lease. When this house came open, the realtor lady took pity on me and let me move into town. But this house had its own set of challenges. And the first thing I noticed as she was showing me the house were there were a great number of spiders here. And I'm not fond of spiders. I don't know about y'all, but I am not fond of spiders. I don't like things that creep and crawl. But I wanted the house. Everything else about the house, it has a lot of natural light and it's in a quiet neighborhood and things like that. So I wanted the house. So I took it. And God told me to take it anyway. So I had to fight a war with the spiders when I first moved because they were biting me. They were in my clothes and stuff. And I got bitten a couple of times. So I had to start fighting them. And I never had to fight them much in Texas. We had venomous spiders there, but they just didn't live in the house with us, you know. And nobody should really have to live with insect infestations. It's really unpleasant. And I don't know if y'all know this about me, but I am not a country girl. I prefer the city. I want the city with, you know, the coffee shops and the, yeah, not all this, but anyhow. So sometimes I would be sitting here and I'd be trying to write a podcast up, you know, and everything quiet at my house and, or I'd be trying to type up a word the Lord was giving me and some giant spider would run across my floor and scare the daylights out of me. And it's unnerving. You know, it startles you. And I didn't like that. Okay. I don't like anything that disturbs my work. So there used to be these huge, like, I call them hobo type spiders because they look a lot like the hobos and they were that size, but I don't know for sure what kind they were. Because when I got through beating them to death, they were no longer recognizable. But they used to drop out of something up in the ceiling and land in my sink. And I'd be standing there washing dishes and stuff in that sink a lot of times and just, you know, praying, Lord, please don't let a spider drop in to say hi now. Please don't, because I probably have a heart attack fall on the floor. So about 2 years into the problem, and I'm still trying to fight them, I don't know anything about spiders. And you have to learn about whatever insect you're trying to fight if you really want to be victorious there, okay? I mean, you really have to understand what you're dealing with. So I was trying to find, you know, like the right insecticide or something. But spiders are not very clean creatures. Most insects groom themselves. Spiders don't. And so if you lay down an insecticide, they don't groom themselves, so they don't get the insecticide or anything with their feet, so who cares? They just keep going. And these were fast spiders. This house is 50 years old. And the landlord was like, well, sorry about your luck, you know, no help there. So one day I'm sitting in my living room where I work most of the time because I like it better than my office. And I'm trying to write a podcast or write down a word or something. And suddenly this huge black spider goes zooming across my floor in my direction. And I jumped about halfway out of my skin. And then I was really angry because when you're writing or getting a word, you're in a certain flow and you try to keep that flow going until you complete your task. And that was it. I got really angry. And I stood up and I screamed, enough. That is enough. I refuse to deal with this anymore. This property is my domain. I pay the rent here. You are not welcome. You will not harass me anymore in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I command every spider on this property to leave my property right now or die right now in Jesus' name. I was just so tired of dealing with them and them distracting me. So not long after that, They were just all gone. But I did find this one big brown recluse in a sticky trap that I had up on my kitchen cabinet, because I put some back there behind everything just to be sure nothing got past me. And I was like, Lord, look at that. It's a big brown recluse. And what is that even doing in the kitchen? He said, it's your fault. And I said, how is that my fault? He said, you commanded him to die. So he went into the trap and he died. I was like, yes, it works. So thank God. He literally told me that. So what I did was three things. I put my foot down and drew the line. I said, it stops now. I shouted. Shouting brings breakthrough, just like when they shouted the walls of Jericho. Where they shouted and God dropped the walls of Jericho. And the third thing is I took dominion over that problem in my authority as a child of God. Okay?
Amen.
Now, when I first moved into this house, before I got around to the spiders, there was another whole problem I had to deal with. There was a resident demon that lived in my basement. Y'all, I am not kidding you. I'm not making this up. I caught this thing on my security cameras. And I have the video somewhere. I literally found it on my security camera right above where it resided in the basement, okay? And I was like, that is so creepy. Anyway, I have my washer and dryer down there because that's where the connections are. And so when I did laundry, I had to go down the stairs and do my laundry down there. And it would make the hair on the back of my neck stand up, and I would get so aggravated with that. Since it creeped me out, you know? So,
I think I would have been scared, more concerned with the demon than I would have been the spiders.
Well, that's why it took me 2 years to really get rid of the spiders, because I was working on the demon. So, first things first. So I had already told that demon, because I knew where it was staying. I could feel it when I went down the stairs, so I knew where it was. There's this area under the stairs that's real dark and creepy, and it was back there. In fact, there was a bunch of spiders in there with it, because I found them when I moved in here. So I had already told it. I said, you're not staying. You are not staying in this house, all right? But I didn't get around to dealing with it, because I was just working on so many things at one time. And I had anointed the whole house and the basement. I went down there. And so one day I was going up and down the stairs doing laundry. And I told it, I said, I'm going to torture you for the rest of your time here. So just be aware. You're not going to get a minute's peace in my house. And I took an old stereo down there and started playing worship music on it. Every time I'd go up and down the stairs, I would talk crazy to it. I mean, I wasn't giving it up, because I've learned you can torture demons, number one. That's why the demons asked Jesus, have you come to torment us before the time? They wouldn't have asked that if that was not a possibility. Right. So you are allowed to torture them, and I do at length, especially if they really get on my nerves. If they hurt somebody I love or they cause me pain or sickness, it is on, and they know it. I'm not going to miss a chance to cause them as much pain as possible. During this time in 2017, and I was helping a couple that had moved to town to start up a church here. And the Lord spoke to the wife one day. She was anointed to do warfare, and he spoke to her one day. I went back there and opened the door. They rang my doorbell, and they said, the Lord said that showed us there's a demon living in your basement, and we came over to get rid of it. And I said, okay, yeah, there is. I know. And here, let me show you the way. And she went down there, and I mean, she screamed at that thing, and she knew exactly where it was, back there under the stairs, and she yelled at it and backed it into a corner, and she said it was back there cowering in a corner. And I was like, if it's not leaving, it's got some kind of legal right or something's going on. But anyway, so I was hopeful that it was going to leave. It didn't leave. So I kept working on it. So then one day, you know, I just got really aggravated. I had a really busy day. I was stressed out about something that was going on. I don't remember what it was. And I had to do laundry. And so I'm running up and down the stairs, which makes my knees hurt anyway because they're real steep. And I'm going up and down the stairs. I'm trying to get all this laundry done. And there's that creepy demon making the hair on the back of my neck standing up, right? And so I'm like, you know what? He is not invited here. This is my house. I am tired of this. I stopped talking crazy to it, and I just started yelling at it. I said, enough. That is enough. You are not going to stay here and harass me any longer. I have dominion here. I pay rent here. This is my property. You are not invited, and you are going to leave my property right now in the name of Jesus. I took anointing oil down there, and I slung it back there where it lived. And the whole time, I'm screaming, and I'm cursing it that it can't stay here. And I said, in the mighty and matchless name of my King and Savior, Jesus Christ, I command you to go to the deepest pit in the abyss, and I forbid you to ever return to me or anybody I know or any place I live ever again. Go now. And just for extra measure, I changed the worship music I was playing to all music about the blood of Jesus. If you ever want to torment demons, play music about the blood. That is the worst thing that can happen to them here on earth besides being cast out. They hate it. They hate it so bad. They had, and if you want to make a demon manifest that's in somebody that you want to deal with, play music about the blood or start talking about the blood and how it redeemed us, and they'll manifest.
That's right.
So every time I went down there, I kept talking crazy and telling, you're not saying, you're leaving. And I would command it to leave. And eventually it was just gone. Amen. And it's not there anymore. I've spent nights in my basement because of the storms. So it's gone. I don't know how many days or weeks after that I went down there, because I don't go to my basement every day. I just go when I have to use the laundry or go down there for a storm. So I did three things. I put my foot down and drew the line, and I said, this stops now. I shouted. Shouting brings breakthrough. You got to remember to shout because it brings breakthrough. And I took dominion over that problem as a child of God. So
Amen.
Tell us, Minister Billy, if you have had similar experiences and how you dealt with them. Give us some testimonies, because you've got so many testimonies and everybody loves your testimonies.
Well, I'm liking yours, you know, because you're testifying.
I am.
But you are so right in everything that you've talked about. We as believers have to realize and recognize just who we are.
Amen.
You know, we're not some part of creation that runs around with a preconceived order. We don't run by nature. We are by God's design, created in His image and likeness.
We don't have to be victims of our circumstances. That's what he's saying. Whether that's financial, physical, your health circumstances, whatever, you don't have to be a victim.
That's exactly right. You know, Satan has a minion. I call them minions. Satan has a minion that has a specific assignment, and he will find a place to affix himself. You know, when you asked me to talk to your audience today, it was, you know, I believe it's a key thing in my life. Several years ago, I went through a training program to become a chaplain, and I didn't necessarily agree with everything they did or said at the time. But the first thing they asked us when they come into the chaplaincy, they said, when you look at yourself, what is one word that you see? What one word would describe you as an individual? And my word was authorized.
Nice.
That word has always been a part of who I am, because I am authorized to speak for God in many occasions. I'm not telling you I've got it 100%. But what I am telling you is I'm authorized to deliver the message of God to the people that come across my path. And the people on this podcast today are here because I believe God wants them to recognize who they are.
Yes.
And who has authorized them to do, to come, to go, and to represent for the body of Christ. You know, the Bible says that we are the ambassadors of Christ. And if you look at an ambassador in the natural realm, a United States ambassador or any other nation to another nation, I'm not going to say they're above the law, but what I am going to say is they are almost elevated above the law because of the international agreements. Mm-hmm. When you step into the role as an ambassador, you are speaking for your countrymen. You are speaking for the headship and the leadership of our nation. You know, the president assigns these people and puts them in their roles. And when he's not present, they're authorized to speak. Now, they do have to go back and they do have to commune with the president and his administration, and they have to keep the dialogue going so that it's understood what's transpiring. Mm-hmm. But if you know the law, if you know and we're going to go to scripture. If you know what the scripture says and you recognize your position as a child of the living God whose brother went to the cross for you, if you recognize what the law of God says, you will understand your position in this earth. Because we are the ambassadors of Christ. Our role is to stand in the gap and to deliver the beliefs and the understandings and the will of God to the ears of the hearer. We're not enforcers. We are messengers. God give us a word. We learn who he is through the word. We study the law, if you will. We're going to call it the Bible today. When you read and study the laws of God, and so long as you deliver the message as God delivered it in his word, all you have to do is verbatimly, if that's a word, deliver it exactly like it's written. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus didn't complicate his conversations with long, drawn-out podcasts. No. Because he didn't have those. But when he spoke, he simply spoke a simple word of truth. And I'm gonna come to you a little bit, build on what Glenda said earlier. She recognized her realm of authority. You see, authority comes in many different levels. God is the ultimate authority, the first and final, the Alpha and the Omega. Everything is because of who he is. And then there is a transition of power. There's a transformation of the power that goes from God into us. If you read in Genesis chapter 1, it talks about how God created the heaven and the earth, and then it talks about it being formless and void. Well, then it goes through the description of everything was put here, and the last thing he put here was man. He created humanity in his image and likeness, and he told the man to go and take dominion over the earth. Well, at that particular time, the earth was the earth. It was all corners of it, right? Adam was given dominion. That meant he had the power within him to walk anywhere he wanted to walk. He could go do anything he wanted to do. Nature was subject to him. No matter how he named it, that was the name that stuck. He was the one that got to do everything for the first time aside from God. God assigned him that role and said, you have the power and the authority to do it. So there was no limitations, with the exception of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, you do anything you want to do, take authority, walk in your place as the man, and I will respect that. He said, but you can never be me. You can never know good and evil, because if you make that choice, then with that comes consequences. So in essence, God brought in the marriage institution. He gave him a wife. And together they were taking care of the business. They were beginning the process of taking dominion, replenishing the earth, creating a family, moving that direction. But in the big scheme of things, they disobeyed God and they gave up their authority. They can still walk in some dominion in the earth, but it's limited. It has restrictions now because of sin. But when Jesus came back, or came to the cross, the second man Adam is what he's called. The second man Adam came, he undid and undone the sin act of Adam. He lived a perfect life. So in the course of his death, burial, and resurrection, Miss Linda, we are, as the body of Christ, we are reestablished in God, in Christ, pre-fall. I'm not saying that we don't have sin in the earth, because we do. We are still susceptible to the consequences of sin. But we are believers that have been reestablished by the blood of the Lamb, and we overcome by that blood and the word of our testimony. Mm-hmm. But you have to walk in that position, because sin will destroy you. Unbelief will steal from you. The deceptions of the enemy is trying to talk you out of your position as a son of the King, a son of God, a born-again, spirit-filled believer that is as empowered as Jesus was. If you are a born-again believer, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name is written in the book of life, the Bible says. And if you will accept that for what it says, you will realize that the God that hung the moon and the stars, if you will accept that for what it says, you will realize the God that rolled the earth into the ball that it is, the one that rolled all of the planets and created the stars, that same power is inside of you as a spirit-filled believer. And with that comes responsibility. You have to learn who you are. But I want to read to you, first off, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God has given us a measure of faith when we were created. But if you're going to grow your faith, you have to know and study the word of God. You have to be a student of God's word, because the word opens itself up and reveals God to you.
Can I say something there?
Yeah.
I just saw something I never saw before in that scripture when you said that. Could it be that the reason so many people do not hear him, could it be because they don't get into the word?
Absolutely.
They don't spend any time in the word? If hearing comes by the word.
Absolutely it can. And I want to just touch on that, because I was a grown man, 26, 27 years old. I was raised in church, in religion, and I was a grown man married with children before I actually ever opened the Bible and started to read it for myself. I had always been told from the pulpit, I had always been told from the television preachers, I had been told by different individuals what they thought.
Grandma.
But by grandma, and I am so from my grandma, because my grandmother is the one that helped establish who I am today, yeah, because of her faith. But you have got to become a student of the Word of God, because I will tell you this. If you believe a lie, I don't care whose lie it is, if you believe a lie, then it becomes truth to you.
Yep.
And your belief is irrelevant in the eyes of God if you believe a lie, because he holds you accountable to the truth you know. And when you get into the Word of God and you begin to study it, you have to look at what it's saying. You have to look at it from the perspective of, this is God wrote this. You can't just say that it's a book that was created by a bunch of different men and women to formulate a religion. This book is a book of history. It's a book of promise. It's a book of warnings. It's a book of guidance. It's a love story. It's actually a love story from Genesis to Revelations. It's about God's creation. It tells you everything you need to know. It tells you who you are. We're not a missing link. We're not looking for a missing link. We've already found him. If you don't know him, his name is Jesus. He's the only link to God that God has put in place to reestablish us to him. We are not evolving. We are transforming. The Bible says we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, by the washing of the water of the word. We are clean because God cleans us with his word. We're washed in the blood of Christ. That deals with the sin issue. And then we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's where you step into the place where you begin to recognize that you are an agent of change. You are a person with a destiny that has some authority to take dominion over your life and over the areas that you have impact. And I want to talk to you a little bit from Matthew 8, verse 5 to 10. I'm going to read it to you, and then most of you are going to be familiar with it. But back to what she said earlier, if you don't read the word, don't let me tell you what it says. Listen to what I'm saying and then go check me out, because if I quote the word and I quote it wrong and you believe it wrong, I've just messed you up. But you need to read the word for yourself. But yeah. Matthew 8, 5 to 10 says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. I want you to understand that this man was politically in a position above Christ, because Jesus being a Jewish man, they were subject to the Roman soldiers. They were subject to the political powers. And Jesus always, he didn't agree with everything they said or did. He submitted himself to their authority. And you can see that all the way to the cross. He committed himself for the purpose of fulfilling his commission by God. He was sent here to do something. He had a work to do, and he was not willing to compromise that on any level. But when this authority figure walked up, he could have commanded Jesus. He said, I need you to go to my house now. I need you to take care of my servant, and I want you to do it first and foremost. I want to be above everybody around me. I need you to take care of mine. But that's not the way this man approached Jesus, because this man recognized that Jesus was different. And he had been around this. He was kind of following the crowd, if you will, in my opinion, because he was put there to keep an eye on what was going on. And through the course of being exposed to what Jesus was doing, Jesus was able to penetrate his heart. And he caused this man to understand that Jesus didn't walk in a position as a normal man. He wasn't doing things as a normal Jewish man was doing or a normal Roman was doing. Jesus was teaching love, changing lives. Jesus was affecting people in their situations. He was piercing their heart to cause them to understand that he was the Son of God sent here to help heal them and restore them. And that's what he did. Everywhere Jesus went, two-thirds of his ministry was spent healing the physically sick. He healed everything from death to blindness to deaf ears, blind eyes. They were crippled in their legs, crippled in their hands. They were mentally ill. Some of them were mentally, my wife tells me not to use this term, but when I grew up, the term was mentally retarded, mentally impaired, special needs. People have neurological disorders in their lives, and Jesus healed and touched these people on every level that I just named. But see, he was walking in a position of authority that God had showed him through the course of prayer and fasting. When he went into the wilderness, when he came into the earth, he didn't immediately start doing miracles. The Bible says Jesus did his first miracle at the wedding of Galilee.
Wasn't that after the 40 days on the mountain?
Yes, it was. He went in
right after he came down from, I thought so.
That's right. He went in, got baptized. He came up. And as he came up, he was revealed to John the Baptist to be the Son of God. And then it says immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. He went into the wilderness and spent some time with God as a man with a mission.
And big mouth Satan showed up in the wilderness.
That's exactly right. But see, that's where we go. I want you to understand how simple it is when you just simply know who you are, when you simply recognize your position as a man or a woman of God, even a child. Jesus was very fond of the children. And Jesus said, if we didn't come as a child, we couldn't enter into the kingdom of God. So it doesn't have any age restrictions. It's just a different level of revelation that we come to.
Okay, that's all we're going to have time for today. Thank you so much, Billy, for being with us on this show. You have given them so much to think about. Billy, thank you again for being with us. We always like when you teach us. I learned stuff from you, too. So thank you for taking time to talk to the listeners.
Well,
we appreciate you.
I appreciate you, too. Thank you for allowing me to participate in your program. And real fast, as we close out, if you have never asked Jesus into your heart, first step is to say, yes, Lord Jesus, come in and be my Savior, and then ask yes. Him to be Lord of your life, because that's the
way yes, amen.
To any of these victories. It all comes through Christ.
Yeah, it does. If you ask Him in and you need to ask any questions, you email one of us. And Billy, you want to give your contact information real
yes,
quick?
Yes, I can do that. It's B as in boy, dot L dot Williams, W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S, 071963@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. I got a great response on the previous program with prayer requests, and I've gotten some praise reports back from some of them, and I expect praise reports okay. from all of them.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, and you will get that, I'm sure. I'm sure, really
Amen.
Sure. Okay, y'all have a great week. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Does your life feel like it's falling apart around you? Are multiple things going wrong all at once? Does it seem all your comforts have been stripped away? You may have entered the wilderness. Wilderness experiences are often times of great discomfort and lack. Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. Find out how to go from surviving to thriving by partnering with God as He leads you in the path that will strengthen your faith and prepare you to step into your destiny. The Wilderness Companion will help you find out why you have been led into the wilderness. Find out the biggest hindrances to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Learn how to partner with God in His purposes for you in the desert seasons. Get your copy of The Wilderness Companion today. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, or audiobook.
Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers, Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com, in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.
Are there areas of sin in your life you just can't seem to overcome, no matter how hard you try? Many people live their whole lives under curses, without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Learn how to defeat every curse through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. If you have the knowledge, you can break curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. In the book Loosed from Chains of Darkness, you will learn the basics of four different types of curses. Loosed from Chains of Darkness is the most comprehensive curse-breaking book on the market today. Get your copy of Loosed from Chains of Darkness by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, and audiobook versions.